Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the History of Russia. As usual, I'm Damon, and this is episode 12, The Triumvirate. Thanks for listening in. Last week we looked at the short reign of Sviatopolk the Accursed, which took place between 1015 and 1019, and the long reign of Yaroslav the Wise, which lasted a healthy 35 years, from 1019 to 1054, although he did get some unwanted help between 1024 and 1036 from his brother Mstislav. And in retrospect, it appears that Yaroslav's time in charge can be seen as the high watermark of the Kievan Rus state, taking in legal reforms, territorial expansion, diplomatically advantageous marriages for his daughters, the neutering of the Pechenegs, and a properly documented and agreed succession. But let's just put these so-called golden years into perspective. Only a very few of the Rus, probably only those in the top 5% of Kievan society, would have enjoyed the benefits. Yeah, there was probably some trickle-down of largesse, but for the vast majority of people, life would have gone on in much the same way as it always had. This week, in a slightly shorter than normal episode, we'll be taking a look at the 40-year period that came after the death of Yaroslav, from 1054 until 1093, which saw several changes of regime, the beginnings of Kievan fragmentation due to something called the appanage system, and the appearance of a new troublesome people from the east called the Cumans, or the Polovtsians, aka the Polovtsi. But I'll stick with the Cumans for obvious reasons. Okay, let's make a start. So Vladimir's agreed succession put in place what is known as a triumvirate, which essentially is a Roman Latin term for the rule of three equals. Now arrangements such as these had been seen in biblical times, the Han dynasty in China, and in the ancient Tamil kingdom in India, but the most famous or notable examples were the two Roman triumvirates. The first of these was an informal alliance among three prominent politicians in the late Roman Republic: Gaius Julius Caesar, Gnaeus Pompeius Magnus, or Pompey the Great, and Marcus Licinius Crassus, known as the richest man in Rome. And it sort of worked for an 8-year period between 60 and 53 BC, and then all hell broke loose. The second triumvirate, which lasted from 43 to 32 BC, was a legalised political alliance formed after Julius Caesar's assassination between Octavian, the future Emperor Augustus, Marcus Antonius, or Mark Antony as we know him, and Marcus Aemilius Lepidus. And to be honest, it was surprising that it lasted that long, because Octavian and Antony hated each other's guts, and Lepidus was a bit of a lightweight non-entity who Octavian treated pretty much as his subordinate. So perhaps this type of governance model isn't looking all that promising. And to add to that, the Kievan-flavoured triumvirate will feature one senior prince, Izyaslav, and two slightly less senior princes, his younger brothers Sviatoslav and Vsevolod. So why was this the case? Well, it's more to do with age more than anything else, Izyaslav being the eldest living son at the time of Yaroslav's death, and probably was an attempt by Vladimir to introduce some checks and balances into the system that would have avoided the internecine squabbling that had occurred at the end of Sviatoslav I's and Vladimir I's reigns. So this all looks good on paper, but let's take a peek ahead and see what actually transpired at a high level. Well, things started well, and Izyaslav was in power as the senior prince in Kiev between 1054 and 1068. In 1068, there was a short interregnum because someone called Vsyaslav of Polotsk, who was a great-grandson of Vladimir, took over with the help of the citizens of Kiev. Izyaslav was then back in charge between 1069 and 1073, but then he was ousted by his brothers, and Sviatoslav II took charge until he died in 1076. Vsevolod then took over and lasted 6 months before Izyaslav was back in the big chair for one last time for a few months in 1077-78. And then it's back to Vsevolod, I knew I'd have trouble with that, who mans the fort until he dies in 1093. There, that's what we've got to look forward to. But viewed through the prism of English understatement, I suppose it could have been worse. So let's look at all of that in a bit more detail, and we'll start with the first 12-year chunk from 1054 to 1068. Izyaslav, Yaroslav's second son, is based in Kiev. Third son, Sviatoslav, is located in Chernigov, and son number four, Vsevolod, is in Pereyaslav, which are both to the east of the Kiev, over on the other side of the Dnieper. And I'll stick a map up on the website so that you can see where all these places are in relation to one another. Oh, and just to keep things tidy, son number one, Vladimir, had died before his father, and sons five and six, Igor and Vyacheslav, are out of the triumvirate loop. So Izyaslav initially keeps himself busy, refining the Pravda, or the law code, something he seems to have taken seriously as he had helped his father draft the original. And he's also involved in the foundation of the Kiev-Pechersk Monastery. And according to the Primary Chronicle, in the early 11th century, Antony, a Greek Orthodox monk from Mount Athos in Greece, but originally from Lyubek in the Principality of Chernigov, returned to the Rus lands and settled in Kiev as a monastery, with the support of Izyaslav, at a cave on the Berestov Mount overlooking the Dnieper River, and a community of disciples soon grew. Domestically, Izyaslav is already married to the King of Poland's daughter, Gertrude, and they have three sons, the unimaginatively and for us confusingly named Yaropolk, Mstislav and Sviatopolk. Meanwhile, over on the other side of the river, the junior triumvirs, Sviatoslav and Vsevolod, are similarly occupied living lives of domestic bliss. Sviatoslav has a brood of six kids, and by 1065 is on his second marriage, and it's ditto for Vsevolod, whose first wife was the daughter of the Byzantine emperor Constantine IX Monomachos, and Monomachos means he who fights alone. The chronicle goes on to tell us that in 1059, the brothers have their uncle Sudislav released from his 24-year prison sentence, even though they waited 5 years to do this. And then in the early 1060s, we hear of various campaigns against the Turkish tribes who had moved into the old Pechenig stomping grounds. See, I knew I'd mention them again. But we're told that these Turks, or Torks as they're sometimes called, always manage to slip away and disappear whenever the Rus forces are in the vicinity. So we're 8 or so years into the rule of the three, and everything seems to be going swimmingly, and maybe, just maybe, triumvirates are the way to go. Trouble started brewing in 1065, though, and the indirect cause of this trouble is something I mentioned a few minutes ago, the appanage system. Simply put, the appanage system, from the Latin to give bread, was the way that a king or a prince rewarded younger sons who were not destined to take over the kingdom or princedom with grants of land. And so in the Ruslands, we're steadily starting to see various bits of territory that are becoming localised centres of alternative power, effectively outside of the control of the current ruling family. Let's look at an example. One of Vladimir the Great's sons was named Izyaslav, and he was given the town and region of Polotsk as an appanage. This Izyaslav Vladimirovich, and note here the use of the patronymic or father's name, which has started to creep into the sources and is used to distinguish different people with the same first name, had a son called Bryachislav, and he had a son called Vesislav, who in turn both inherited the Polotsk sub-princedom. Multiply this by several factors and you can see what kind of a mess this has become, with various bits of the Ruslands being run by cousins and uncles of the current ruler. Here we go, this is a mouthful. Vesislav Bryachislavich now became the direct cause of the troubles in 1065. Holding some kind of grudge for not being part of the ruling coalition, he laid siege to Pskov, and whilst he was thrown back, in the winter of 1066 to 1067, he pillaged and burnt Novgorod, removing the bell and other religious objects from the Cathedral of Holy Wisdom and bringing them back to decorate his own cathedral of the same name in Polotsk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So Pskov was one thing, but an attack on Novgorod was a far more serious affair, as it threatened to cut off the triumvirate in Kiev, Pereyaslav and Chernigov from their Scandinavian and Baltic trading routes. And so the Yaroslavichi, which effectively means the sons of Vladimir, combined their forces and marched north, sacking Minsk, which was then under the control of Polotsk, and then on March 3rd, 1067, they defeated Vesislav at a battle near the Nemega River. Vesislav fled, but was persuaded by Izyaslav, who swore an oath that no harm would come to him, to attend peace talks a couple of months later down in Kiev. And of course, the minute he turned up, he was taken by force and thrown into prison. Then in 1068, the Cumans, a nomadic Turkic people whose name in both Slavic and Turkic meant pale yellow or blonde, and who had been sniping around the edges of the Ruslands since the late 1050s, but had been kept in check up to now by the junior Tramvir Vsevolod, invaded Kievan Rus with a large force. So the brothers once again united their forces, this time against the invaders, but the Cumans routed them in a battle on the Alta River near Pereyaslav, and after their defeat, all three brothers withdrew to their own lands and lay low. But in Kiev, the citizens rose up in open rebellion, kicked out Izyaslav, liberated Vesislav, and made him their grand prince. And it's here that the triumvirate begins to creak, because neither Vsevolod or Sviatoslav made any attempt to help their older brother. But hang on a minute, why did the Kievans turn against Izyaslav? Well, The chronicle tells us it was due to the fact that the Cumans were still raiding in the area, and that when the citizens of Kiev implored Izyaslav to raise another army to send the raiders packing, he refused, and so they took direct action. So let's move on to our second chunk of time, which will take us from 1069 to 1078. And after nine months after the rebellion in Kiev, Izyaslav is back in Rus territory at the head of a Polish army. So the townspeople of Kiev sent messages to Sviatoslav and Vsevolod, imploring them to come to their father's city and defend it. And according to the Primary Chronicle, Sviatoslav and Vsevolod requested Izyaslav not to lead the Poles in an attack upon Kiev, stating that if he intended to assuage his wrath and destroy the city, they would be properly concerned for the ancestral capital. Now, Izyaslav paid attention to these subtle words of warning and didn't let his Polish allies enter the town. However, his own retinue slaughtered or mutilated many of his Kievan opponents. But one man they couldn't catch up with was Vsevolod, as during the mayhem he managed to escape and get back to Polotsk and safety, where he kept his head down and lived in relative peace and obscurity until his death in 1101. So with Izyaslav's return to Kiev, the triumvirate was restored, and in 1072, as a sign of unity, the three brothers visited Vyshgorod and participated in a ceremony that conferred sainthood upon their uncles Boris and Gliev. And then they even found time to work together on further enhancements to their father's legal code. And so it would appear that the whole Kievan uprising, Vsevolod, Polish army thing had been forgotten, and that the rule of three was set to continue for many years. But life just isn't like that. And according to the Primary Chronicle, in 1073, the devil stirred up strife among the three brothers shortly after the canonization of Saints Boris and Gliev. And this time it was Vyacheslav and Vsevolod who united their forces and expelled Izyaslav from Kiev on the 22nd of March. And the chronicler puts the blame for this action squarely on Sviatoslav, stating that he was the instigator of his brother's expulsion because he desired more power. And the chronicle also states that Sviatoslav had misled Vsevolod by asserting that Izyaslav was entering into an alliance with Vsevolod. Modern historians disagree about his motives, though, on the one hand stating that he was driven by straightforward greed, and on the other stating that Sviatoslav, who seemed to have been suffering from a grave illness, wanted to secure his son's right to the leadership of the Rus, which would have been lost if Sviatoslav had predeceased Izyaslav without having ruled himself. Anyway, whatever his motives, he got his wish. However, his rule proved to be short, just over 3 years, and pretty much uneventful. His dethroned brother Izyaslav first fled to Poland, but Duke Bolesław II, who was Vyacheslav's son-in-law, expelled him from his lands. And then Izyaslav goes on a wander around various European states looking for assistance to get his princedom back. But to be honest, he needn't have bothered, as at the end of 1076, Sviatoslav II died, and so the triumvirate, if it ever genuinely existed, is finally dead and buried. Vsevolod took over in Kiev, but this was just a holding pattern because within a year, Izyaslav was back. And his first move was to give Sviatoslav's power base in Chernigov to Vsevolod, almost as a kind of, thanks for keeping things going, but we know who's big brother and I'll take over from here. But as should have been expected, this completely alienated Sviatoslav's sons, and one of them, Oleg, in alliance with the Cumans, invaded Chernigov. Now, Vsevolod tried his best to hold the invaders at bay from his newly acquired territory, but he was outnumbered, and things started to look increasingly grim until, just in the nick of time, Izyaslav and his forces came to his brother's rescue and forced Oleg to retreat. So the battle had been won, but at the end of the day, literally, not figuratively, it was discovered that Izyaslav had fallen in battle, leaving Vsevolod very much on his own. So after Isaiah's death, we come to our last chunk of time, 1078 to 1093. And Vsevolod took the Kievan throne, uniting again the three core principalities of Kiev, Chernigov and Pereyaslav. And he appointed his eldest son, Vladimir Monomakh, and there's that surname again, or a variation of it, to administer Chernigov. But he was unable to turn this legacy into anything resembling a success, or even just keep the wheels turning. And during the next 15 years, he seems to be at best unlucky, and at worst just plain inept. The Primary Chronicle writes that the people no longer had access to the prince's justice. Judges became corrupt and venal, and Vsevolod followed his younger counsellor's advice instead of that of his old seasoned retainers. And as a warrior, he just really wasn't up to it. I mean, those battles that he fought in person against the Cumans, he lost. And as for the others, he delegated responsibility to Vladimir. And the last years of his reign were clouded by a grave illness, much like his brother's earlier on. And again, it was up to Vladimir Monomakh to steer the ship of state. So was the triumvirate a success? Well, certainly for the first dozen years, up to the uprising in Kiev, I think it went as well as could be expected, even if it really wasn't a rule by three equals. Each of the three brothers knew their place and seemingly tried to uphold their father's succession planning. But after that, jealousies came to the fore, and it was every man for himself. Well, certainly for Izayaslav and Sviatoslav it was. I'm not sure that Vsevolod was ever really up to the mark. Okay, we'll leave it there for this week. Join me next time when we'll look at what happened in Kiev as we head towards the 12th century. Was the second half of the triumvirate just a blip, or do the descendants of the Yaroslavichi oversee more of the same? And the clue will be in the episode's title. Okay, as usual, just before I go, if you want to get in touch with a comment or question, then it's via the website historyofrussia.podbean.com, via Twitter @historyrussia1, or via email nordicworld@outlook.com. Until next time then, stay safe, look after yourself, and I'll see you all soon.
We're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.